Rather like the smile on a cobra, Yamagata thought. Funny thing, Molina said, grinning. I received a message. Said that the team working on the surface of Mercury was finding strange-looking rocks. It piqued my curiosity. A message from whom? Asked Bishop Danvers. It was anonymous, no signature. Molina took another gulp of wine. I kind of thought it was from you, Elliot. Me? Danvers looked shocked. I didn't send you any message. Molina shrugged. Somebody did. Probably one of the work crew down on the surface. Strange-looking rocks, Alexios mused. And that was enough to send you packing for Mercury. I had the summer off, Molina replied. I was in line for an assistant professorship. I thought a poke around Mercury would look good on my curriculum vitae. Couldn't hurt. It has certainly helped, Danvers said. I think it probably has, said Molina, reaching for his wine glass again. I'm sure it has, said Alexios. Yamagata noticed that Alexios stared straight at Lara Molina as he spoke. Explanations. Messages? Molina blinked with surprise. He and Lara were alone now in the stateroom that Yamagata had graciously supplied for them. It was larger than Molina's former quarters aboard the ship. The Japanese crewmen who had moved Molina's belongings to this new compartment laughingly referred to it as the bridal suite. In Japanese, of course, so neither of the gaijin would be embarrassed by their little joke.
I couldn't leave you alone out here, Lara said as she unpacked the travel bag on the stateroom's double-sized bed. You looked so sad, so lonely.
Molina knew he had never sent a single message to his wife until his triumphant announcement of his discovery. He also knew that he had promised to call her every day he was away from her. You got messages from me? He asked again. She turned from her unpacking and slid her arms around his neck.
Don't be shy, Victor. Of course I got your messages. They were wonderful. Some were so beautiful they made me cry.
Either I've gone insane or she has, Molina thought. Has she been hallucinating, blurring the line between her dreams and reality?
Lara, dearest, others were so sad, so poignant. They nearly broke my heart.
She kissed him gently on the lips. Molina felt his body stirring. One thing he had learned over nearly 10 years of marriage was not to argue with success. Accept credit when it comes your way, no matter what. It had been a good guide for his scientific career as well. He kissed her more strongly and held her tightly. Wordlessly, they sat on the edge of the bed. Molina pushed his wife's half-unpacked travel bag off the bed. It fell to the floor with a gentle thump in Mercury's low gravity. They lay side by side, and he began undressing her. I'll figure out what this message business is all about tomorrow, Molina told himself as the heat of passion rose in him. Tomorrow will be time enough. Dante Alexios had returned to Goethe base on Mercury's surface after dinner aboard Himawari. Lara hasn't changed a bit, he thought. She's as beautiful as she was 10 years ago. More beautiful, even. Did she recognize me? He wondered as he undressed in his tiny compartment. Not my face, surely, but maybe she remembers my voice. The nanomachines didn't change my voice very much. He stretched out on his bed and stared at the low ceiling. The room's sensors automatically turned the lights out, and the star patterns painted across the ceiling glowed faintly. Victor looked puzzled that his wife had flown out here, Alexios said to himself. Wait until she tells him about the messages she got from him. That'll drive him crazy trying to figure it out. Who would be nutty enough to send love letters to Lara and fake his image, his voice, for them? It had been easy enough to do. Alexios had secretly recorded Molina's face and voice from his university dossier. It was simple to morph that imagery into the messages that Alexios composed. He had poured his heart into those messages, told her everything he wanted to say to her, everything he wanted her to know. Plagiarized from the best sources, Shakespeare, Browning, Rostand, Byron, and the rest. He told Lara how much he loved her, had always loved her, would always love her. But he said it with her husband's image, with Victor's voice. He didn't dare use his own. Not yet. Ian McFerguson was a burly man of delicate tastes. His fierce, bushy beard and shaggy brows made him look like a Highland warrior of old. Yet he had dedicated his career to the study of life. He was a biologist, not a claymore-swinging, howling clansman. Still, he was a fighter. Throughout academia, he was known as a tough, independent thinker, a maverick, a burr under the saddle, often an inconvenient pain in the ass. He seldom followed the accepted wisdom on any subject. He asked the awkward question, the questions that most people wished to shove under the rug. McFerguson had studied all the data about the evidence for Mercurian biology that Molina had sent earthward. Alone now in his compartment, as he sipped his usual nightcap of whiskey, neat, he had to admit that the data were impressive. Molina may have made a real find here, McFerguson said to himself. But something nagged at him. As he drained the whiskey and set the empty glass on his night table, he fidgeted uneasily, scratched at his beard, knitted his heavy brows. It's all too convenient, he told himself. Too convenient by far. He began pacing across his narrow compartment. Molina gets an anonymous tip. He's given a clutch of rocks that the construction workers have found, all in the same location. The rocks contain PAS and all the other biomarkers, that's sure enough, but it's all too easy, too convenient. Nature doesn't hand you evidence on a platter. He shook his shaggy head and sat heavily on the bunk. Maybe I'm getting too old and cranky, he said to himself. Then a new thought struck him. Maybe I'm just jealous of the young squirt. Goethe Base. So far, Alexius was saying, the scientists have not discovered any other sites that contain biomarkers. Yamagata had come down from Himawari to the surface base for this meeting, the first time he had been to Mercury's surface in more than a month. For nearly 5 weeks now, the IAA scientists had been combing the planet's surface with automated tracked vehicles, searching for more rocks that contained signs of life. Yet they still prevent us from expanding this base, Yamagata grumbled. He was too troubled to sit in the chair Alexios had offered him. Instead, he stood, hands clasped behind his back, and stared at the display screen that took up one whole wall of Alexios's modest office. It showed the barren, rock-strewn surface outside the base. The sun was up, and the hard-baked ground looked hot enough to melt. The bleak landscape matched Yamagata's mood perfectly. If the scientists didn't lift their ban on industrial activities on Mercury's surface soon, Sun Power Foundation would go bankrupt. It angered Yamagata to be so frustrated. Despite all the teachings that the lamas had tried to instill in him, he found it impossible to accept what was happening, impossible to be patient. Yamagata wanted to round up McFerguson and his entire crew and send them packing back to Earth. Now, this day. Standing respectfully beside him, Alexios said quietly, "At least we're putting the time to some good use. The preliminary tests on the shielded power sat look quite good." Yamagata turned toward him. Alexios was slightly taller than he, a fact that added to his displeasure. "Just as you suspected, the power degradation is caused by the solar proton influx," Alexios went on calmly. "And the superconducting shields protect the cells?" Alexios called out, "Computer, show results of shielding test." The landscape disappeared from the wall screen, replaced by a set of graphs with curving lines in red, green, yellow, and blue. As Alexios explained them, Yamagata saw that the superconducting shields performed much as the forward persona had predicted. "The high positive potential of the structure around the cells deflects the protons," Alexios said, "and the magnetic field created by the superconducting wire keeps the electrons off." Otherwise, the electrons would discharge the high positive potential, Yamagata muttered, showing his